Our scripture reading is Matthew 1, 18 through 24. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, reading from God's Word. Before we read the scripture, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the reading and proclamation of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he was born as a baby, fully God and perfect man, in order to become sin for us on the cross of Calvary, because he is Lord of all. You raised him gloriously from the dead, and we praise you that he is our Lord. We pray that we would treat you as Lord by listening to your word and by responding in obedience to it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading God's word, Matthew 1, 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Matthew features the story of Jesus' birth. But it's more than birth. It really is a lot more than birth. It's just the beginning. Matthew describes the beginning of Jesus' life because it foreshadows the rest of his life. You will have no problem, really, believing that Jesus Christ raised the dead. Preach the Word of God like no one else because he is God in the flesh. Was fully God and fully man, performed all of his miracles. If you get this right, he was born God. If he was born God, he can do everything else. But if you don't believe that, you're going to have significant problems believing anything else of what the scripture says. The birth is important because it speaks to so much more than birth. It speaks to the eternal Son of God who always existed, who was born by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was God, born as God, always will be God for you. God's Spirit forms the human body in the womb of the Virgin. Notice the text. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. But a close reading shows he's not just considering birth itself, Matthew is. It's more the story of the virgin conception so that Jesus Christ is born as God. He always was God. He assumed human flesh to save us from our sin. In fact, the word used birth in verse 18 is not the normal word for birth in the original language in which the New Testament is written, Greek. That word is origin. So it should read this way, although the translation's correct, but it should read, it's better this way. Now the birth, or now the origin of Jesus Christ, his conception, took place like this. He was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Matthew writes his account so all will know about the conception of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. But it's told from the standpoint of Joseph, which makes sense. Because it's from Joseph Jesus is receiving credentials for mission. It's because Jesus is born in the line of Joseph that he is also born in the line of David. And keep in mind, Jesus is not born according to the flesh of Joseph, because then he would be a sinner. He is born according to the line of Joseph, which means he is the greater son of King David, which was also promised in the Old Testament. God promised a king like David to lead his people in perfect justice and perfect righteousness. And so God fulfilled his promise. Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, the wise man, you and me, every person ever born except for Christ is under the condemnation of sin. We are separated from God, and the only deliverer, praise God, from that bondage is the God-man, Jesus Christ. So what do we learn from Joseph? We learn first, consecrate yourself to Jesus Christ, your God. Now, there are several ways Matthew drives home the core message of Christmas, that Jesus is not simply a great teacher. He is that. He's not a great angelic messenger. And he's not only a great man. He is divine God himself. Look at verse 20. The angel tells Joseph that the human life growing inside the womb of the Virgin Mary came not from any human being, but from the Heavenly Father. Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, assumed human flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit through a virgin conception in order to become sin for you and I on the cross of Calvary. But then there's an even more direct statement about Jesus' full divinity. Look at verse 23. And Matthew references the great promise of Isaiah 7:14 and says, this is now fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Who is Jesus? He is God with us. Fully God, not half God, not three quarters God, not a quarter God, but he is fully God in the flesh. And that is the whole point of the passage. For centuries, Jewish religious leaders read Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they thought, well, this is figurative. This is all about some leader coming in the future who would have the presence and power of God with him. and reveal God. And then they understood it as, well, this leader, Messiah-type figure, King David-type figure, well, he will deliver us from Rome, from Roman domination. They missed the point. Do you know what Matthew is saying? God's fulfillment of this promise is greater than you can ever imagine. Because God did not fulfill this promise figuratively. He fulfilled it literally by becoming God in the flesh. This would have been absolutely stupendous to Joseph. Because the Jews rightly believed, because they embraced the Old Testament revelation of God, that God was perfectly transcendent and perfectly infinite, that he was not within the creation, he was the ground of all existence, and he is personal, and he is transcendent. And everything they believed militated against the idea that God could be a human being, which is why the Pharisees tried to put Jesus to death when Jesus said, "I am." And what the Holy Spirit is revealing through this account that Matthew writes is that Jesus Christ is fully God. By his virgin birth, by his miracles, by his claims, by his death on the cross, by his glorious resurrection, by his ascension, Jesus is not just a prophet telling us how to find God. He is God finding us and reconciling us to God. And Matthew's not the only one who writes about this. If you turn to the Gospel of John, or listen to me read it, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then John identifies Jesus Christ as the Word become flesh. What is the Apostle John declaring? Same thing Matthew is. That Jesus Christ is the eternal Word of God, personally come. He was never created. He created everything. He existed with God the Father from eternity past. And it is through him that everything was made. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word in the flesh. And all of existence finds its meaning in him. You will only find your meaning and purpose in life through the Word become flesh and faith in him. I remember a few months before my father died. Now, my father was an unbeliever almost his whole life. And as he was, he knew he was soon to pass from this life, he started watching D. James Kennedy. And I came to visit him, you know, as we often did, a few months before he died. And he said to me, "Frank, I discovered the most amazing thing today. I watched D. James Kennedy, and he said, he told me about my chief purpose in life." And I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Well, you're a Presbyterian minister. You should know." Chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You will never find your purpose in life unless that's your purpose. But you can go on. Colossians 2:9. The Apostle Paul, a Jew, a Pharisee, says, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells. Not three-quarters of deity, all of it. Romans 9:5, the Apostle Paul again writes, of whom are the patriarchs? He's writing about Israel. Well, Israel is a patriarch. God gave them the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And according to is the flesh of Jesus, who is God over all, blessed be his name. And Titus 2:13 and 14, waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of who? Our great God and Savior. Well, who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, for our salvation. If you want to celebrate Christmas, bow the heart and adore Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Jesus, throughout his public ministry, was driven by a self-consciousness that he is God. All through the gospel, he's forgiving sin. No one can do that but God. All through the gospel, he's promising that he will return as sovereign Lord and judge of this earth to purify this earth and to create a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. No one but God can make that claim. And in John 8:58, Jesus declares, before Abraham was, I am. He is the pre-existent Lord of the universe who took the very name that God had given to Moses of himself in Exodus 3. I am has sent you. And he took it to himself. Jesus Christ is fully God. Why in God's eternal design did the Council of the Trinity decide that the eternal Son would become perfect man in a virgin conception? Why? Why was that necessary? Why did God choose to save us that way? Have you ever thought about that? Because the incarnation reveals the absolute perfect wisdom of God in the covenant of grace. Later on, read the Westminster Confession of Faith. Read the Shorter Catechism, question 20 and answer 20. How did God deliver us from the state of misery and condemnation? God, in his eternal good pleasure, chose some for eternal life by sending his Son, perfect God and perfect man, as their Redeemer. It's the wisdom of God. God created man for his own glory, for God's glory. God created man for fellowship with himself. But God the Father gave man a command. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you will be condemned. You will die. You will be separated from me. Man ate of it and was condemned, all of us in Adam, and separated from God under the curse and misery of sin. But God the Father and God the Son entered into a covenant of grace by which the Son willingly committed himself to become the Lamb born from the womb of the Virgin Mary to die for your personal sin and my personal sin so that we might be saved by God's grace. The sin against God, sin of man is sin against God. And if man has sinned, only man can make it right. only man can. But our sin is so offensive, infinitely so, that no mere man can make it right. So that's a problem, not for God, but for us, from our standpoint. So what did God do? God became perfect man in Christ, so that God, who alone could pay the penalty, was in the person who had to pay it, Jesus Christ. That is the covenant of grace. God paying the penalty for sin. Joseph embraced the message of Christ, the mission, by naming Jesus, Jesus, in obedience to the command of the angel. And you can only be saved, you can only be assured of eternal life, if you embrace the mission of Jesus Christ and relinquish your rights. Jesus calls us to full and unconditional surrender to him. Joseph was righteous only because of that son he raised, who would have died for not only his sins, but the sins of all of God's people. Are you righteous in the righteousness of Christ? Now, to get to the second point here, and we're going to close with this point and take the rest next time. Comfort in suffering. Jesus is fully human. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is one of us without sin. Think of how marvelous that is. Jesus is perfect man as well as perfect. He's one with us. The teaching of Christmas in Scripture is that through the incarnation, Jesus is truly and fully human. Do you know what this means? This means unfailing comfort for us in our suffering. This means infinite comfort for us in our suffering. Let me read Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham, those who trust in him. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. Those who trust him are his brothers, in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This means the Almighty God became a perfect human being and underwent every form and type of suffering and temptation that you have. But he went through it perfectly, trusting God, obeying God perfectly, so he knows how to help you. And he indwells you by the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. Have you been hungry? Jesus was hungry. Specifically, Jesus was hungry when he fasted in the wilderness, tempted by the devil 40 days. Have you ever been thirsty? Jesus thirsted on the cross when he was dying a slow, painful, horrible death. And he said, I thirst. Have you been betrayed? Jesus was, by his disciples and by the very Jews he came to save. Have you been lonely? Jesus was. Have you cried at the death of a loved one? Jesus did at Lazarus' tomb. In other words, Jesus Christ has been all the places you have been. He's been through all the darkness you've been through, and far more than any of us have ever been through. Are there some of you saying, well, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. He ignored me. God oftentimes says no because it's not what his will is for us, because it's not good for us. But Jesus knows what that's like, because in Gethsemane, when he was facing the cross, he prayed, may this cup pass from me, and God said no. Have you ever felt abandoned? We may feel abandoned, but if we're believers in Christ, we're never abandoned by God. Let your circumstances cast you on the Lord. But Jesus was abandoned on the cross for a moment when he was bearing our sin. In other words, Jesus knows what it's like. Trust him. Rely on him. And he will carry you through. So to close this message, this message is a call, really, to trust Jesus Christ in your daily life as your God, as your Lord, as your Savior, who is perfect man. Do you want God's comfort? Do you want his peace? Do you want his joy? The foundation is to admit you are a moral failure, that you have not obeyed God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to relinquish yourself to Christ, asking his forgiveness, trusting him as your Lord, and living your days in obedience to him by his grace. Because all the other blessings that God gives all flow from treating Jesus as your Savior and King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for your perfect plan of salvation. We thank you that in infinite love you have saved us to eternity. And we pray that in grateful love to you that we will obey and serve you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.